From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, the U.S. Treasury Department following through on President Trump's promise to impose sanctions on Turkey if Pastor Andrew Brunson was not immediately released. We'll talk about it later here on Washington Watch. But first, back in April, House Speaker Paul Ryan announced he would not run for re-election, which opens up the position of House Speaker. Well, last week, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, a frequent guest on this program, with the backing of the Conservative Freedom Caucus, announced he would consider the top job if he can gain the support of his colleagues. Congressman Jordan will be here in just a moment to talk about it. And a Christian conservative doctor is reportedly being investigated by the Medical Board of Australia for retweeting posts that were critical of the radical gender indoctrination of children. Dr. Charles McVitie, president of Canada Christian College, will be here to discuss this trend. Also, members of the FRC team have been on the road this summer hosting special briefings for pastors in key states. Yesterday, the team was in Kansas City, Missouri. Pastor J.C. Church, National Director of Ministry Engagement, gives us an update from the road later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T. Perkins. By the way, let me remind you once again of the new tool for your activist toolkit. It is the Stand Firm app. If you've not yet downloaded it, you can do so. Go to the App Store, or if you want a simple bridge over, go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links. You can download the app. It's great if you also want to share it with your friends, because those that may not be able to listen to this program, that may not have a station in their area, they can listen every afternoon right there on the app. We send out alerts to help you engage, to be a part of this republic, as we say very often here. Our republic, if we're going to maintain it, this is not a spectator sport. This is a participant sport. We've got to participate in the process. So get the app, Stand Firm app, go to TonyPerkins.com. Or go to the App Store and download it. All right, last week in a two-page letter to his colleagues, Congressman Jim Jordan announced his candidacy for Speaker of the House. The Speaker of the House is both the presiding officer of the House of Representatives and the leader of the majority party. With us now is Congressman Jim Jordan himself. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Ohio, the founding chairman of the House Freedom Caucus. He also serves on the House Judiciary Committee and the Oversight Committee. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony.
All right, Jim, I've known you since you arrived in Washington, and your background, a championship All-American wrestler. You never run from a fight. You know what needs to be done, and you get it done. All right, why do you want to get into this fight of running for Speaker? Tell us about it.
Because the House of Representatives is not doing what we told the American people we were going to do, at least not enough of it. And the people of this great country keep trying to send the swamp and send the establishment, send that town a message. And they sent it in 2010 when they put Republicans in control of the House. They did it again in 14 when they gave us control of the Senate. And then they did something in 16 that no one thought was going to happen, when they made President Trump the president of the United States, when everybody said he couldn't win. They said, we're so fed up with that place, we're going to send someone in there who we believe is going to shake that place up. And he's doing that, but frankly, the House is not enough. And if we can keep the majority, which is priority number one, then I'm going to run for Speaker. And if I'm fortunate enough to win that position, I'm going to focus on doing what we said we would do.
And you've been consistent in doing that. That was a part of the formation of the Freedom Caucus. And the Freedom Caucus, quite frankly, has had, I think, a lot of success in moving the House to a point of being more in line with the promises made.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it this way, Tony. In the last year and a half, think about what this president has accomplished. Regulations reduced, taxes lowered, economy growing at 4.1%, unemployment at its lowest in 20 years, Gorsuch on the court, Kavanaugh on deck. We're out of that crazy Iran deal. The embassy is going to Jerusalem, and the hostages have been returned from North Korea. An amazing year and a half. But of that long list of accomplishments that the president's been getting done, really only the taxes have to have the House and the Congress participated.
Right.
And
that,
those are
right.
big things, don't get me wrong. But where is the border security wall we promised? Where is reforming welfare and requiring work for able-bodied people? Where is repealing Obamacare? Where is defunding Planned Parenthood? Where is controlling spending? And where is standing up to the executive branch, particularly the FBI and DOJ, that won't give us the information we're entitled to get? That's what also needs to happen, because that's what we told the American people we were going to do.
And you have been beating the drum for those things. In fact, last week you were a part of, along with Congressman Mark Meadows of North Carolina, the current chairman of the Freedom Caucus, of going after the DOJ on these issues of not producing the information that they're supposed to do present to Congress, and quite frankly, not doing the job they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, numerous letters were sent to the Department of Justice asking for information. They weren't complied with. Two subpoenas that they are not in compliance with. One from the Judiciary Committee was sent on March 22nd of this year. We've caught the Justice Department hiding information from us that they shouldn't have hid from us. Redacting stuff they shouldn't have just because it was embarrassing. Namely, when Peter Strzok was a text message conversation where it showed that he was friends with one of the FISA court judges. They tried to hide that from us. And then we know Rod Rosenstein has, according to two staff members on the House Intelligence Committee, as reported by Catherine Harris at Fox News, Rod Rosenstein threatened staff members on the House Intelligence Committee. All that took place, and we filed articles of impeachment, because when you couple all that with the fact that they used this dossier, they took this dossier, opposition research, disproven dossier, took it to a secret court, didn't tell the court who paid for the document, didn't tell the court the guy who wrote the darn thing had been fired by the FBI because he was out leaking information, and used it to get a warrant to spy on the other campaign. That should never happen in America, but it did. And that's why if they don't give us the information so we can get all the answers to this, we're gonna pursue the impeachment resolution that we filed a week ago.
So, Congressman Jim Jordan, are these issues of leadership in the House that the leadership needs to be stronger in terms of driving these political promises into reality? And quite frankly, I mean, you know what it takes to get 218 votes to pass something in the House, making some members of your own party uncomfortable. Is that what it takes?
It's simply doing what we said. And, mm-hmm. and when we go into these big debates, not forfeiting before we even start the game. It's like when you go out to wrestle a match, you walk out there, you shake the guy's hand. Before the ref blows the whistle, you say, you know what, I'm just going to forfeit and let him win. That's what we do too often. Let's have the debate. I mean, think about the omnibus. We didn't even debate it. We just said we're going to have 15 hours to look at a 2,232-page bill, 1 hour of debate, no amendments can be offered. We funded things in that bill that we said we didn't. We didn't fund things in that bill we said we would, namely the wall, and we were supposed to vote for that. And every one of us in the Freedom Caucus and a whole bunch of other conservatives said, no, we're not voting for that. So that's what's got to change. You can't just bring something up at the last minute, governing by crisis, and expect everyone to vote for some. Let's have the debate. We could have done the right thing for our military, reduced spending. We could have got wall funding if we were willing to actually debate it. And if we understand that we now have a guy in the White House who's not afraid to go out there and use the bully pulpit and debate and argue and make the case, that's what we got to do.
Well, I share that frustration. I think most of our listeners do when you go into a major debate. In fact, we're going to see it again, you know, as we come to the end of the fiscal year. We got to get these appropriations bills through. And the first thing we're going to hear, I predict, is that, we don't want to shut the government down. And so you're basically signaling to to the Democrats that, you only go so far because you're not going to shut the government down, which is not the intent, and you wouldn't be.
Not.
It would actually be the Democrats because they don't want to fund government.
Yeah, well, no one wants to shut the government down, but I'll remind your listeners that the one guy who did shut it down this year was Chuck Schumer back in January on a short-term funding bill. He shut the government down over a weekend because he said amnesty was more important than funding our troops. And over the weekend, the American people said, you're crazy. He came back in on Monday and said, I'm going to reopen the government, because he'd seen the light. So that they're the ones who shut it down. We're just doing what we were elected to do. So let's do that. Let's actually reform welfare and require able-bodied people to do something to get your hard-earned tax dollars. And let's put in money for the wall in this bill. Let's do those things. And then if they don't want to vote for that, when that is the vast majority of the country says those things should definitely happen, that's their problem, not ours.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad that you are with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, my guest, last week announcing in a two-page letter to his colleagues that he would, if the Republicans are able to maintain the majority, which it's looking promising, he would make himself available to serve as House Speaker. Explain to our listeners, Jim, a little bit about this process and how it unfolds in terms of the Speaker election.
Yeah, the most important thing is to keep the majority, because if we're not in the majority, then the Speaker
doesn't
will be
matter
from the other party.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and we think about what the Democrats are campaigning on right now. They're talking about abolishing ICE. They're talking about raising your taxes. They're talking about socialized medicine. They're talking about growing government, and they're talking about impeaching the president. So that's their message. So the main thing is we need to win the majority. I'm going to do everything I can to help us. If we keep the majority, then it's a student council election. Then it's an election amongst the Republicans in the House of Representatives who decide who their nominee for Speaker is going to be. And then in the 1st of January, when we start the new Congress, that individual, whoever's going to be Speaker, has to get 218, has to be the majority of the House on the floor of the House to be the Speaker.
Pretty straightforward, and I think, yep, as you said, the critical part is that the Republicans remain in the majority. That's that's going to be decided in the midterm election. But I don't think there's been, in the 15 years that I have been here, I don't think there's ever been a clear contrast when it comes to agendas between the two parties, and especially in this case, I think in the two. In the individuals that are being put forth as leaders of the two major parties.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a contrast. I mean, what we campaigned on, what the president's accomplishing, cutting taxes, strong foreign policy, putting the embassy in Jerusalem, as he said, putting conservative constitutionalists on the Supreme Court versus their agenda, their left-wing right agenda, raise your taxes, abolish ICE. We want to build a border security wall because every sovereign nation has the right to control their borders. They want to abolish ICE and just have an open border. I mean, you talk about a contrast. So this is as clear as it gets. We've got to turn our people out. We've got to, I think, in many ways, nationalize this election and talk about those big issues. If we do that, I think we can win. If we don't, I think it's going to be really tight.
Well, Jim, I, for one, want to say thank you for all that you've done as you have been a member of Congress and articulating and fighting for those conservative values that we stand for here at the Family Research Council. So thank you, and thanks for being here today, and thanks for making yourself available.
Thank you. Keep up the good work. Take care.
All right. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, and I didn't go through the whole history there, but the Freedom Caucus was responsible for moving the House to a more conservative ideological holding. You know, John Boehner, Speaker, he was the minority leader, then became the Speaker. And, he was a little weak. It was the Freedom Caucus who came up with a motion to vacate the chair, which caused him to retire. And then Paul Ryan, more conservative, good guy. But maybe it's time to do more. You're right. We got a president who is strong, unequivocal in keeping the promises that he made. Maybe it's time. All right, coming up next, more attacks against free speech. A doctor is under fire for retweeting a post challenging the transgender lifestyle. We'll talk with Dr. Charles McVitie, president of Canada Christian College, when we return. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In three states and two large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage. And this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's @TPerkins. All right, it's being reported that a Christian conservative doctor is being investigated by the Medical Board of Australia after complaints against Dr. Van Gend. He apparently retweeting posts that were critical of radical gender indoctrination of children. With us now is Dr. Charles McVitie. He is the president of Canada Christian College and School of Graduate Theological Studies in Toronto, Ontario, and has been dealing with this same thing. Dr. McVitie, glad to have you back on Washington Watch.
Well, it's glad to be with you, and I was glad to be with you at the Values Voters a few years ago. Look forward to going back one day.
Well, we look forward to having you back here in the States. In the meantime, explain what's happening in Australia here when it comes to this this general practitioner, this doctor, who just retweeted some posts, one by a Conservative Party Senate candidate and another by actually Ryan Anderson here in Washington, D.C. with the Heritage Foundation regarding this radical transgender policy, just sending on these retweets, and now he's under investigation.
It's absolutely spectacular that a medical board could investigate him for something like this, because gender fluidity flies in the face of biology and science. I mean, there's nothing more immutable than your gender. You can go through some little cosmetic surgeries and change a little bit here and there, but you can't change your blood, your brain, your DNA, your genes. You cannot change your gender. And for them who are committed to the Hippocratic Oath to do no harm, they're actually trying to force this doctor to do harm to his patients by going along with what is truly nonsensical. And we've been fighting this here in Canada heavily since 2010 when it first showed up in our Ontario education curriculum. Now it is all the way to the Criminal Code of Canada for the where they have added gender identity and gender expression to the criminal code. So if you speak against it, you can face up to 2 years in prison. This is how far these ideologues have gone with this ideological idea that you can change your gender. It's spectacular.
Well, speaking of the criminal code, the Australian Health Practitioner Regulation Agency, which oversees the doctors, has the authority to apply criminal sanctions on doctors. They've informed Dr. Van Gend that a complaint has been filed against him, questioning his professional conduct. He's being investigated for violating board policies, and they may be guilty of discriminatory conduct, all from simply not even commenting on these tweets, but simply, again, retweeting what a member, a candidate for the Conservative Party there in the country tweeted, and Ryan Anderson here in Washington at the Heritage Foundation regarding his book, When Harry Became Sally, responding to the transgender movement. Isn't this kind of dangerous where you're telling medical practitioners that you can't talk about certain topics?
It's spectacularly dangerous because it impacts children. And here in Canada, we are quite often seeing children treated with hormone blockers and treated with various types of medications that damage a child, that damage a person permanently with, I mean, the Rainbow Health Coalition says that these things cause permanent infertility. So when doctors are forced by medical boards to do something that damages especially children, it is grossly horrific. And really, really, we need to stand up against this because it's so nonsensical. To detach gender from your sex, and then create these six genders or what's in our curriculum, or on Facebook, you can choose one of 75 genders. I mean, it's so nonsensical. And for the government to start forcing this with criminal penalties behind it, with in our case in Canada up to 2 years in prison, and who knows in Australia how long a medical board could put you away. This stuff is really dangerous. It's ideologically based. It flies in the face of science. And thank God for Tony Perkins and others like you who stand up and say no to this.
Well, thank you, Dr. McVitie. Let me one final question for you.
Sure.
I mean, unfortunately, you're ahead of us in Canada when it comes to this crazy stuff. Are you starting to see pushback from the citizens of Canada?
Thank God for this pushback, because it started in Ontario. June the 7th, we elected a strong conservative who announced that he is going to push back and erase at least the sex education program. His name is Doug Ford. He's already announced that it's not going to be there in September. Hopefully we can dial some of these other things back. It's very hard to change the criminal code once again. But citizens are finally getting fed up with nonsense that starts affecting their children. Mm-hmm. And remember, double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And you teach little children to be double-minded about their gender, and that can cause them trouble for their life.
Absolutely, without question, and we're seeing it. We are. Dr. Charles McVitie, thank you so much for joining us once again.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. By the way, we may have talked about this, but a major study about the effects of these hormone treatments in men that are transitioning to females leads to heart attacks, stroke. They're 80 to 90 times more likely to suffer a heart attack or a stroke. This is dangerous stuff, and we're pushing this on our kids. All right, coming up next, a report from the road as FRC's National Director of Ministry Engagement is out crisscrossing America, working with churches and pastors. That's next. Don't go away.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. But Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about the U.S. Treasury announcing earlier today that they would be imposing sanctions on Turkey. This following up to the president's pledge last week that serious actions were coming. This is just the beginning as the Treasury announcing these sanctions. We'll talk about what they are a little bit later with Travis Weber. All right. The Family Research Council has a team out on the road, our pastor's pastor and church outreach team. And they've been involved in an initiative called Bold Advance, where they're going out and doing regional pastors' briefings in key states like Missouri, helping them bring their congregation to greater engagement for as Christian citizens, how to impact the community around us. And joining us now is Pastor J.C. Church. He pastors Victory and Truth Ministries in Ohio, but he is also the National Director of Ministry Engagement for the Family Research Council, and he was in Kansas City yesterday. He's been crisscrossing the country, and he joins us now by phone. J.C., welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Good to be with you again.
All right, you catch your breath?
I did. We just got off a plane a little bit ago from Kansas City, the event we had yesterday, which was great. And, yeah, so we're ready to go.
And you got some more stops coming up. In fact, I'm going to be with you in Cincinnati August the 14th. We're going to have a pastor's briefing there. Explain to our listeners a little bit about what these gatherings of pastors are all about.
Well, Tony, we're doing these regional pastor briefings and inviting pastors to come together. We're certainly encouraging, equipping, and empowering pastors, but challenging them to engage. I believe that we're at a very historical time with where we're sitting in our country, with the Supreme Court hanging in the balance, critical elections across the state. So we ask them to pray, preach, and partner on the issues, but we're really helping them understand the issues in their state and how to properly get their people to not just pray, but to participate, to make sure they're registered to vote, make sure they're informed voters, make sure they're engaged in the process, especially with critical elections in their states.
So what are you hearing from pastors as you're meeting with them out there across the country? Are they sensing the critical nature of this time and that this is a moment that they need to step up and provide the leadership needed for the folks sitting in the pews?
Tony, I would say absolutely yes. You know, in the 10, 12 years I've been involved in working with pastors and trying to get them engaged, I have never seen more pastors, I think, answer the call right now. They're wanting to know what to do. They want to be informed. I believe they do understand what's at stake. And I think the issue at hand, the defining issue that is before us, is the Supreme Court hanging in the balance. The nominee that we have now, those in the future, as well as, if I'm not mistaken, some 140-some opportunities of federal judges that can be appointed. Right now, Josh Hawley was with us yesterday, and we were talking a little bit about that, that this can be a defining moment generationally. And I think that's the thing that pastors are really waking up and understanding as we're working with them, teaching them to see the big picture, that that this is a generational opportunity that is very, very rare right now.
You mentioned Josh Hawley. He is the Attorney General for the state of Missouri. He was one of the keynote speakers yesterday. What was his main message to pastors yesterday?
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, this is a bright, bright young man. I want to challenge your listeners to pray for this young man, those who are in Missouri, to really understand what you have and why you need to get behind him. Josh is an expert in constitutional law, former law professor at the University of Missouri. He's been before the Supreme Court 13 times in cases. This is a brilliant, God-fearing man, and he's hanging his hat on the very thing I mentioned. He believes the issue of our times is the Supreme Court and that we need to pick up Senate seats, certainly his and his state, to help make sure that we can get those appointments put in for a lifetime. So as a constitutional expert and a First Amendment expert, this guy's very staunch defender of religious liberty, very articulate, very God-fearing, and he did an incredible job. And he will be with us in Springfield at our event that we're going to be doing August the 16th in Missouri, as well as August 21st in St. Louis, Missouri. So for the folks across the country, pray for this young man. And in Missouri, what I've said is this: he is so articulate and so God-fearing. You know, we've got about 100 days to the election, so we need to double down our efforts in prayer and participation for people like Josh, because let's let our listeners be mindful. This is a six-year opportunity, and if we can double down our efforts for 100 days, this young man will serve us greatly for 6 years.
Well, and as the Attorney General there in the state of Missouri, he has brought, he was actually one of the early ones to challenge some of the big social media giants and the information that they were secretly gleaning from their users. So he's been at the forefront of defending the citizens of Missouri. J.C. Church, as always, great to have you on the program. Look forward to seeing you in Cincinnati coming up August 14th. Where will that be, so our pastors and listening would know?
The Princeton Pike Church of God in Hamilton will be hosting that event for us in Cincinnati on August the 14th. So we'll look forward to having you with us, Tony. It's going to be a powerful time.
All right, J.C. Church. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, when we come back, Travis Weber joins me. We're going to talk about Turkey and sanctions. That's next. Don't go away.
You've seen the news. Christian cake bakers and florists were targeted by LGBT activists for their beliefs about marriage and forced out of business. The Christian adoption providers are also being targeted for believing that children deserve a mother and a father to raise them. In 3 states and 2 large cities, faith-based adoption providers have been forced out of providing needy children with stable homes because of their beliefs about marriage, and this trend shows no signs of stopping. With the adoption rate in the United States steadily dropping for the last 17 years, discriminating against faith-based adoption providers will only make the problem worse by forcing agencies who serve children in need of loving families out of the marketplace. This is why laws are needed to protect these agencies at the federal and state level. For more information on this important issue, visit frc.org/adoption.
Let's keep the momentum going in this fall's election by voting your values. If you're like me, you care a lot about where our culture is headed. Now is the time to stand for biblical truth and fight for faith, family, and freedom in the public square. To be equipped for this mission, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on September 21st through 23rd in Washington, D.C., and join hundreds of Americans who, like you, want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Invited and confirmed speakers at this conference include Donald Trump, Mike Pence, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, Paul Ryan, Laura Ingraham, Diamond and Silk, Kirk Cameron, Dana Lash, Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, and Mark Levin. On September 21st through 23rd, stand with Values Voters to keep the momentum going. Visit valuesvotersummit.org or call 1-877-372-2808 for more information.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, let me remind you, the Stand Firm app, it is the latest tool for the activist toolkit. This is what you need to become a responsible citizen. Well, it'll just help you be a more responsible citizen. It'll give you at your fingertips the ability to know exactly what's going on and as it pertains to alerts that we put out so that you can contact members of Congress. And once you you sign up, get the app, you can sign up that you want to get these notifications, and we will notify you about things that your congressman does, so it'll be tailored to you. You'll also be notified every afternoon that it's time for Washington Watch. And this is, again, a great tool to share with friends who may not be fortunate enough to live in an area where you can actually pick up Washington Watch on a radio station. They can listen to it right there on their own smartphone. See, your smartphone just got smarter. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow the links over, and download the Stand Firm app. Okay, earlier today, following up on the threats, but I don't think this president really threatens. I think he just promises, and he keeps those promises. Last week, on Thursday, right before the vice president spoke at the Ministerial to Advance Religious Freedom and issued the same warning to Turkey that if they did not immediately let Pastor Andrew Brunson go. Now, that morning, he had been released from prison to house arrest. But there's concerns, and I've spoken to administration officials about this. There's concerns about the environment in Turkey and how some in the community surrounding Dr. Brunson, Pastor Brunson, could be stirred up to do something. And so the situation is being monitored, but you know, Turkey's responsible for the well-being of Pastor Brunson. So last week, the president, after a conversation with the Turkish president, Erdogan, they demand that he be released or face serious sanctions. Well, we saw the first of those today with the U.S. Treasury announcing sanctions on two Turkish officials. Here to talk about this matter, what it means, and what might be next is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy here at the Family Research Council and heading up our Religious Liberty Department. It's not department, institute, whatever we call it. Center, that's it. Travis, all right, explain what's in these sanctions.
Yeah, so Tony, as you mentioned, President Trump following through on his promise to bring pressure to the Turkish government over the continued detention of Pastor Brunson. The sanctions today were directed to two Turkish officials, the Minister of Justice and the Minister of Interior, and it seizes, in effect, it targets financial assets they have within U.S. jurisdiction. That could be in U.S. territory, on the U.S. soil itself, or within the legal jurisdiction of U.S. institutions, but basically puts a hold on any their property within our jurisdiction in an effort to exert pressure on them and hopefully affect the release of Pastor Brunson. This is pursuant to an executive order that President Trump himself issued. The executive order targets the property of persons. It allows the U.S. to freeze their property when they're involved in serious human rights abuses. So this is pursuant to his national security and national emergency powers more broadly related to other statutes. But this is a powerful tool we have to advance human rights and religious freedom. I'm glad to see President Trump using it today, and hopefully it'll bring some pressure, effective pressure, to bear on the Turkish government.
I mean, this is quite significant. I mean, Turkey is a NATO ally. Now, they've been on the bubble, I think, a little bit. They're working with Russia to get an anti-missile defense system. That, combined with Pastor Brunson, led the Senate to put a restriction in the current NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, to restrict the sale of F-35 jets to Turkey. There are other restrictions. This is really the first of what I would anticipate would be more sanctions that this administration will place on Turkey.
Yeah, you know, we'll have to wait and see. One would hope that Turkey and nations in its position would see that they don't even want to be in a position where they're working against religious liberty in the first place. When we go back to something we've talked about before, the benefits of religious freedom for a society long term, I don't really know what they're thinking. You know, in terms of their own well-being, not promoting, really working against religious liberty, creating a climate where people are not going to want to visit Turkey now. Turkey's going to suffer not only in terms of its public reputation worldwide, but people and other interests that they might have involvement with in terms of events on the world stage, more likely to be involved and present in Turkey now. So aside from all that, yes, if we need to, as President Trump's been doing, we're going to have to bring pressure to bear on Turkey. And this authority that I mentioned in the executive order issued December 21, 2017, allowing the president to target the assets of those involved in human rights abuses overseas goes back to his authority under the Global Magnitsky Human Rights Act and the International Emergency Economic Powers Act. These are statutes that many people don't know about, but they give the president broad latitude to declare national emergencies and act in ways legally. Their legal authority, statutory authorities passed by Congress, allowing the president to act in a way to advance or prevent attacks and harms to U.S. national security related to economic matters and economic interests. So they're a needed tool in the toolkit to advance religious freedom worldwide and human rights worldwide. That's what the president is doing with these two targeted sanctions against leading officials in Turkey, certainly responsible for, if not more involved in, the detention and prosecution, political sham prosecution of Andrew Brunson. So we'll have to see what else happens in terms of who the Treasury targets, what President Trump decides to do next. Certainly there are more officials in Turkey, other ways we could pressure Turkey. This is not the last of this incident.
Well, and as you said, President Trump is leading on this. He is the one, his administration, imposing the sanctions. But he's not acting without support of Congress. 66 members of the Senate wrote a letter calling for sanctions if Pastor Brunson was not released. So this is a bipartisan issue, a recognition of the fact that we have an American citizen who is being held in Turkey, been held for nearly 2 years, and there is no evidence to substantiate the charges that have been made against him that he somehow was a part of the coup attempt against the Turkish government.
It's very much a charade, you know, and that's why you have bipartisan support for this effort to free Pastor Brunson. You have support in Congress, the administration, the American public. And frankly, you know, this is something where we can even look overseas now to see nations coming alongside the United States, seeing the administration's efforts on religious freedom and saying we want to be a part of this. We've talked about the ministerial. Out of the ministerial, you have announcements about the Religious Freedom Fund, about the Potomac Declaration articulating a defense of religious freedom going forward. These are opportunities, and we have partners internationally on this issue, opportunities to form a coalition of nations who will stand against this type of thing we see in Turkey and elsewhere and just say, look, it's not going to be tolerated.
Right. Travis, hold on there. I'm going to go to the phone lines. I want to hear from our listeners. Do you support the administration's efforts here in imposing these sanctions on Turkish officials? 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Do you support this? You know, either way, let me know. Because this is, we communicate this back to the administration. And I, for one, support the bold initiatives this administration is taking to defend religious freedom. I think it's extremely important. And I think this type of activity sends a message way beyond the case of Andrew Brunson and beyond the country of Turkey to communicate to the entire world, which is watching, that this is a priority and America is back when it comes to religious freedom.
Absolutely. You know, and that's why tools like what the president relied on here, this executive order, are so important, because you get people's attention when you hit them in the wallet. And that's what the president's attempting to do here. It's what he's done today with this announcement of freezing their assets and targeting their assets that are in the United States or within U.S. jurisdiction. That gets people's attention. We know people speak that currency, even if they don't speak the currency of religious freedom. We hope they're going to speak a language of religious freedom, but we're going to have to use the language that speaks to them. And that's what we see occurring today. And, you know, it's probably going to get more difficult for Turkey unless they agree to stop this charade and this sham prosecution.
Yeah, it appears that Turkish officials are kind of digging in, that they are, you know, I don't know, maybe in a perverse way they're enjoying the limelight and the fact that they're able to gain the attention of the United States and President Trump. But, I mean, knowing what I've seen in this president and his commitment, number one, to religious freedom, but number two, to keeping his promises, that I don't think this is going to turn out good for Turkey if they want to continue to detain an American citizen.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're going to see any unilateral you know, opening up of the doors of these sanctions or opening up the kind of permissive attitude towards Turkey and sort of welcoming them back into the world community on this issue unless they really change their ways. We're not just going to just give up on these efforts to free Pastor Brunson and promote religious freedom. And let me just, you know, just comment on something else here. This executive order that President Trump's relied on here to freeze the assets of these two Turkish officials was initially issued with a list of other foreign actors who were subjected to this order, whose assets were freezed. And these are not people that, you know, anyone wants to be associated with, not, you know, people the Turkish government, Turkish leaders want to be on the same list with. Arms dealers, these are people who are involved in human rights violations in a variety of ways in countries in Africa, taking advantage of the situation in Congo and other places, engage in seedy activity and not things that the Turkish officials want to be on the same page with. So it would seem to be that they'd want to get out from under these sanctions, get out from under the authority of this executive order, which targets these human rights violators, and not be pegged as being on a list of modern-day human rights violators.
Now, we going beyond Turkey, I mean, we've just seen some other things in recent days just underscoring why this is such an important initiative, because, you know, religious freedom and the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities is still happening all around the globe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we see this, Tony, we see this on a daily basis. I get emails and press releases in my inbox about situations occurring, if not every day, every other day, in India, across other parts of Asia, China, the Middle East, churches being shut down in parts of North Africa, just all sorts of religious freedom violations. And this is not even accounting for the hidden degradation of religious freedom, the cultural attitudes that develop. Very, very, very bad situation, something we really need to focus on.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be – it's going to appear to get worse before it gets better, because awareness is a part of the process, actually becoming aware of the acute nature of the problem. You know, it's shocking. And I think the vast majority of Christians living in the United States who, quite frankly, I think take for granted – our First Amendment freedom, even though, I mean, as we've talked about frequently here in this program, I think it was under attack from our own government in the previous administration, but nothing like what we're seeing in countries like India, Pakistan, some of the African countries.
Yeah, you know, and we can look at our issues here, say we need to address these issues, and actually turn that around to spur us on to work for the freedom of those overseas, right? Because we're focusing on the problems we have here, but also recognizing, look, there are no mobs showing up and saying, you can't share the Christian message with people. We're going to come burn your house down. Well, that's what's happening in India.
Right? And the government's turning a blind eye.
The government is supporting the spread of the ideology which leads to this. And so
– and Turkey is one of those countries.
Turkey is bad too, and the problem takes on different forms. But American Christians can say, look, these are fellow Christians. These are fellow people who cannot hear the message of truth that we have in Christ. And we still have that message here, so let's be bold about our faith here. At the same time, we need to support the freedom of people to hear this around the world. Religious freedom as a policy worldwide, meaning everyone can choose how they're going to live out their faith and have a robust practice of that faith. But that means freedom to hear the message.
Right. Freedom to choose – to not choose, to reject, to embrace. The point is every human being has that choice. It's a God-given right to choose.
And unfortunately, they don't have that freedom many places around the world, and we're going to work on that.
Travis Weber, as always, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Folks, to make sure you have the latest information on Pastor Brunson and other issues, whether it's the Bible being removed from a display at an Air Force base, you know what you know? You know what you need? You need the app. Stand Firm app. Go to TonyPerkins.com, follow links over, and download the Stand Firm app. And guess what? Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you've taken your stand. That's right. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.